It's a term you've heard a lot of recently in the news on the Central and South Coasts. People have been fighting for environmental justice. The label has been used extensively in the battle in Oxnard as many members of the community have rallied to fight a proposal to build a fourth power plant in the city. A UC Santa Barbara sociologist says while the issue isn't a new one, the label for it is relatively recent.
Communities that are already on the margins of society by virtue of being racial minorities, maybe indigenous communities, immigrant communities, low-income communities around the country, around the world, tend to also be sites of environmental harm because they tend to have fewer friends in high office, fewer friends in positions of authority.
Dr. David Pello is director of UCSB's Global Environmental Justice Project.
The general trend is that worldwide, and certainly in the United States, where we see communities that are marginalized politically, economically, culturally, those communities are much more likely to have contaminated water. They're much more likely to have contaminated air. They're much more likely to face contaminated land. And they are therefore much more likely to face the consequences with respect to public health.
But Pello believes the term environmental justice is actually used in a backwards way.
Environmental justice is where we have the integration of ecological sustainability and democracy, the protection of our environment, the protection of our natural systems, as well as protection of people. So it drives me up the wall when I hear people refer to a community like Oxnard as an environmental justice community, because for the most part, there's an absence of environmental justice.
The researcher says the injustice is most communities don't want potentially polluting or damaging things like power plants or dumps, but some communities simply don't have the political clout to stop it.
They are often the sites of dumping of our unwanted waste, dumping of incinerators, dumping in terms of the concentration and the density of hazardous industries. Industries that, yes, produce jobs, produce wealth for communities around the world, but they also produce a lot of pollution. I live in Santa Barbara, and we would be loath to imagine accepting one of these facilities in our community. And it's pretty easy for us because we generally have better representation among public officials.
Pello believes the concept applies to things we might not consider at first, like the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and even Black Lives Matter. He's written a new book about the subject called What is Critical Environmental Justice?
We need to move environmental justice studies and environmental justice politics into the 21st century. We have to build on the good work that people have done in terms of analyzing the ways in which race and class inequalities matter a great deal with respect to who is most exposed to environmental problems and who needs to be included in environmental policy discussions, but we need to build on that.
The researcher talks about more of the things he thinks we need to consider.
We need to think about all lives mattering, all lives being indispensable, human and non-human lives. We have to think multi-scalar. We have to think about environmental problems and solutions from the scale from the molecular or the cellular scale to the global and back. We have to actually devise solutions to environmental problems in ways that are very cautious about relying entirely or mostly on markets and governments.
Pello says we need to look at ways of making environmental justice more inclusive. He also notes that research shows that even in low-income communities where families struggle with basics like adequate food and housing, the environmental quality issue is a big one. In fact, he says in heavily Latino communities, the research shows it ranks as a higher concern than it does in predominantly white communities. Lance Orozco, KCLU News.